First Timothy, and it's been a kind of a we've been going slowly through it. There's so much information in the books to Timothy, in the letters to Timothy. Paul is trying to equip the church, and he's inspired by the Spirit of God to write these things. And some of these things are so specific that you just almost marvel at the fact that Paul, by God's guidance through the Holy Spirit, wrote down some things that would be very helpful and important to the well-being of the church throughout the ages. Throughout the ages. And so let's don't read these things and let's don't study these things and say, well, that worked for them. It doesn't work for us. You know, I hear a lot of that today in the world of theology and religion, especially the television religion or the mass media religion that I'm exposed to. I get a lot of ideas that say, you know, we just have to adapt the Bible to what we're doing. And folks, that's one of the biggest traps we can fall into, is discounting God's Word and making it less than it should be in our lives. And so when we talk about these details today, let's don't gloss over them and say, well, this doesn't really apply to us today, because it does. It applies to us today. And we're going to talk about some interesting subjects. I tried to arrange to have a substitute teacher for this class, but I just couldn't get anybody to take it. But we're going to be talking about some things that are important. But we're going to be talking about widows. Do we have any widows here with us today? 15 or so, 20, 30, maybe. Okay, half the class? No. We have widows today, just like they did in the beginning, in the early church. And we're going to be, Paul's going to be talking about specific things that we should do as a body in relationship to those special people in our midst. And we don't want to do a worse job today than they did in the first century. We want to do as good or a better job today. But there are other issues that he addresses here. And so as he continues to admonish Timothy about his conduct and his approach to leading and teaching the church, because that's what Paul is doing with Timothy, is he's establishing him as a person with authority, a young man with authority to teach and to help guide the church to be what it should be. So we're getting it firsthand from Paul, just like Timothy did, but Timothy had the task of taking this letter and making it understood to the church in his time. So we're going to be in chapter 5 today, and we're going to try to cover verses 1 through 16. And I actually kind of condensed it down to only 13 separate topics. And we're going to begin at the beginning, but let's read through it right quick. And for those of you who may not have it in mind or didn't have a chance to read in advance, let's read it together. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put out on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, Do not put them on such a list. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus, they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some, in fact, have already turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer is a widow, if anyone who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. Well, do we need this teaching? Is this something that's important to the church, the function of church? Absolutely. There are several things that we need to touch on, and we'll just start with the beginning and Timothy and how he should rebuke or admonish a person who's older than him. How did Paul say to do that? Do it like you would do it. How? To your father. Now, I got to tell you, in today's world, because the family has become so dysfunctional in so many ways, and we've all experienced families where the children speak to the father and to the mother with absolutely without any respect. And this idea of respect for authority and respect for those who are older than you has been a kind of a dying value in our nation, I believe. Not necessarily in our families, but certainly it's something that we need to think about and to try to cultivate in our families. And that is, men, we need to be respectable. We need to be the kind of men that our young men and our children can value their relationship with us and can draw from us the strength they need to build and develop their own faith in God and their own belief that God is the true and living God, and that following Him and doing the hard things, the things that God asks us to do to show our faith and our belief in Him, we need to pass those on. And we need to be that person that our young people want to come to and say, "Dad, I'm dealing with this. Can you help me?" We need to be those kinds of dads. But young people, what Paul is talking about here is, regardless of the demeanor or the your feelings about or your impression of an older person, if you need to approach them and to talk about things that maybe you're trying to encourage them to do, because see, that's what Timothy's responsibility was. He was going to be coaching and admonishing and helping and trying to get everybody on the same page of how we love each other in the church. And if some old hard-headed old man came in and said, "You know, we're gonna do this because I believe this is the right thing to do," and Timothy knew that that wasn't something that was something that Paul or that any of the teaching that he had as a result of being with apostles of God, firsthand information about how we conduct ourselves as a church, he would have to confront that person, wouldn't he? And he says to do it like you would your own father. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I was a lucky young man. My dad, I tell you, they didn't come any better than my dad was the original John Wayne. They patterned the John Wayne character after my dad. He walked like him. He was strong and powerful, and he had some bad characteristics, you know, some things that I didn't want to emulate, but I had nothing but respect for him, and I certainly would never have said anything in disrespect to him. You know, had some thoughts from time to time. Never let those thoughts turn into actions, because he was so big, I was terrified. I thought that if he ever hit me, I would never grow up and get married. Because he'd just take me out. Because he was so big. I don't ever remember him striking me with his hand at all. But I was terrified of him in that respect. So I didn't want to do things to give him an opportunity to whack me. But I know that I had talks with him, you know, and that we talked about things that were important to me and to him. I never approached him like I was better than he was, or that I knew more than he knew, or that I was smarter than him, which I was until I turned about 21. I was so much smarter than my dad. Bless his heart. I don't know why. He came into town on a potato wagon, I think. But then he got real smart. And that's what Timothy is telling, Paul is telling Timothy in that opening verse. And it goes through all levels of the people that are going to be in the church. Timothy, how do you talk to a young man? What does he say? Like as your brother. How do you talk to an older woman? She's your mother. How do you talk to a younger woman? Like she's your sister. But he adds something to that. Of absolute purity. Why do you think he had to add that to that? We understand talking to an older woman as a mother. You know, we want to talk to those ladies that are older than us with that kind of respect and that kind of love. All of these things involve a communication of, I love you more than I do this issue we're talking about. I love you more than this thing that has us a little bit separated here, this argument that's going on, or this change in the way we're doing things that's giving you heartburn, or whatever it is that we're discussing, whatever the admonition is. I love you more than anything that separates us. So the older men, the older women, the younger men, but he gets down here to the younger women. Remember who he's talking to? Timothy? How old is Timothy? We don't know. But he's a young man, don't we? Because Paul's already told him, don't let anyone despise your youth. Don't live in a way where people can question you because you're a young person. Be the kind of person that you want to be. So why does he say, in all purity, when he says, when you talk to or you admonish or you appeal to a younger woman, appeal to him as a sister, in all purity? What's he talking about? Why did he have to say that? What do some of the different versions say? We have different versions of the Bible in here. The NIV is not the only version of the Bible any more than the King James is. But what are some of the other versions used for that word, purity? Quickly? In all purity. What are some of the other words? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 2. Last word. Hello? Have any other words? Absolute purity. Some of the versions use the words chastity and propriety. Do we know what chastity means? No, we don't use it much anymore, do we? But we know what it means. It means abstention from sexual intercourse, of virginity or celibacy, a vow of chastity. It means don't make your interaction with that young lady have any implications that you have wrong thoughts, that you're thinking about wrong things. Keep it pure. Men, have we talked about this in our own lives? About keeping our hearts and our minds pure? It is a task in today's world. If you don't believe what I'm saying, get in your car and drive through Houston, Texas. Okay? There are signs on billboards that we have to divert our eyes from. There are things that come on the television that just are just amazing that we just shouldn't even allow our eyes to look at. But we do. And I think Paul's talking to us back here and saying, you know what, if you don't train your mind, If you don't get ready, 2,000 years from now, there's going to be a thing called a television, and there's going to be other kinds of communication, and you need to be aware of the fact that you've got to get your mind right so that you can talk properly to young women and not send that mixed message. Propriety. Do we talk about propriety anymore? Do we talk about that? Do we use that word much? Propriety. Conformity to established standards of good or proper behavior and manners. That's what Paul's talking to Timothy about. Act right toward these young ladies. And appropriateness to the purposes or circumstances, suitability, rightness, or justness, the proprieties, the conventional standards of proper behavior, manners to observe the proprieties. Folks, are we teaching these things to our young people today? Are we practicing those things in our own lives as we interact with each other? The same thing is true with any of our interaction with members of the opposite sex in the church. There should be no hint of inappropriateness among us. Not a hint. And that's what Paul is admonishing Timothy to. Let's go on. He says in verse 3, honor the widows who are truly widows. Well, who are those ladies? Isn't a widow a widow a widow? Honor those ladies. Now, we're not sure. You read commentaries and people that you know and respect. I had the privilege of studying under J.W. Roberts, and some of the commentaries that I have in my study material are from J.W., and he says things like, you know, there's really not a lot of clarity in some of this stuff. So I was expounding that faithful, you know, I'm from J.W. Roberts. It has to be true that it's not clear. So I was trying to explain to my precious wife, Jill, how that could not be, you know, clear, you know, some of these things about what's going on with the widows here. You know, are they assigning them special duties in the church? You know, it's very possible. Brother J.W. Roberts believes that. And so I'm talking about how unclear this stuff might be, and she said, well, how do you mean that? I said, well, you know, like the command, thou shalt not kill, that's clear. That's clear cut. She said, well, what about war? I said, no. I mean, like stealing. And she said, well, okay. And we talked about some of those things. And anyway, the lines kind of got blurred on a couple of those things, but Paul's being very specific here, so let's be as specific as we can and talk about the things we do know. Whether or not the widows indeed were being asked or invited or made responsible for some of the things that widows can do. Either way, Paul is talking about how do we take care of them and which ones do we take care of as a church, as a body. And in two different parts of this, he says, families, if you don't take care of them, if they have family and the family doesn't take care of them, they're worse than what? They're worse than unbelievers. I mean, it's just pretty plain that there's no way you can glorify God if you're not taking care of widows in your own family. So that should happen first, right? So we're going to go on through and talk about that children and grandchildren have first-line responsibility. That's what we need to teach. Take care of your family. Things happen in families. People get sick. People are not able to work. People are not able to take care of themselves. And in the case of widows who have no resources, who are destitute, or who are just struggling because they don't have those kinds of resources, somehow Paul is saying we need to sign those people up and make sure they're being taken care of and looked after and that their needs are being met. So, what is a widow who's truly a widow and desolate? How does that look in today's world? What does that look like? Have you thought about it? You got rules? Yeah, okay. Well, you're going ahead of me here a little bit. I'm just saying, what does it look like when you see a widow indeed, if that's what we're going to call her, a widow indeed, someone who doesn't have the... What does that look like usually? Isn't that amazing? It looks lonely is what it looks like. It looks real sad and lonely. It looks scary, like something you don't want to have happen to you, to be alone. In the business that I'm in, we deal with widows and widowers every day. So if I don't let this teaching of Paul reach out to those women, then what? Am I being legalistic? Maybe. What I think we can do is we can follow Paul's guidelines, because he's going to tell us how they need to be helped and which ones need to be helped with a lot of specificity. But what I want you to recognize and think about and realize is that being a widow indeed is a lonely, lonely place. That's right. I think you're exactly right. And I think that's what we have to get down to, is that we're talking about a group of people. Now, let me go back to my thought, because one of the things that we experience in dealing with people, with especially the elderly people who've lost loved ones, you see all across the whole range of emotions. You see people who are just depressed. They've had a life partner, some married 67, 70 years. You know, maybe not 70, but some numbers that big. And now that life partner is gone. And so they're facing whatever the rest of their life is without that person who's been by their side for that many years. It's a difficult thing to lose a life partner. It is a difficult thing. So let's talk about a little bit more about, because we know what that looks like. We're going to talk about, first of all, he says something about the one who doesn't live the way they're supposed to, the widow that doesn't live the way they're supposed to. And, you know, what he's saying about this is true about men or women, but what does he say about the ones who lived in pleasure? They're dead while they're alive, walking dead. They're not. Isn't that an awful state? Wouldn't that be an awful state to be in? Dead while you're alive? We need to think about these things, because he's going to describe the widows that are to be enrolled in this plan. And again, I don't know if it was just a straight benevolent take care of all their needs, or if it was something where they literally had an assignment. They helped the poor. They helped minister to people who were sick.
I was just going to say, you know, Paul writes these same things.
don't let them eat. Thessalonians. The nitty gritty. No.
So if we buy in on any premise of anything in the Bible, we have to understand the unity of that. And I always think about the back of the planetary view. A lot of people don't talk about this, but when Christ returns, he's coming for his bride. And if you think about who a bride is to Christ, it becomes the mother of all those children that are in that entity of God.
Absolutely.
And so widows, young men,
older men.
The whole populace of any title you want to have becomes our responsibility.
Absolutely.
And by shirking it or judging it in any way other than how Christ, you know, really bestowed this on Paul, just passing it on to Peter,
absolutely.
Is really, you know, can be sin in our lives.
Absolutely.
We don't take on that same role.
Can be. That's right. Let's go on to Paul, because he's fixing to say something that should say, attention, 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 Christians, church, listen to what I'm fixing to say. Because he says, here are the, in verse 7, what does he say? Here are the special instructions. What does yours say? Commands. Anybody like to be commanded? Oh, commanding offends me. I got to tell you, it just does. But I'm from another person. I do not like to be commanded. I don't know what there is about that. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn better how to be commanded. But Paul is telling Timothy. Yeah. We got to get there, don't we?
It's an engaging thing.
We've got to get there. We have to get there. We have to get to the point where we're open to that. But God, these what he's telling us is this comes from God. This isn't me. This is a command I want you to clearly understand. And so what does he say? First of all, he talks about that family that doesn't take care of their own. They're worse than an unbeliever. And then he talks about the qualifications of the widows that he's talking about. How do we enroll these widows in the plan? What are the qualifications? Let's just list them. I have them as three with some sub under three, but some would list it with eight. But I think the last five are an extension of the third. The first one, he says they have to be 60 plus. Okay, so. So do we not help them until their 60th birthday? You see what I'm saying? We can do that to the things that God teaches. We can say, you know, she's just 60. She's not really 60. So let's go ahead and let her struggle to have food on her table and a roof over her head until, well, on her birthday. We can help her because that's what the scriptures say. Folks, we start doing that, we're going to be just like the Pharisees. We're going to be just like the Pharisees. And what he's saying, he's just trying to give some guidelines that help identify these people. One husband, or the husband, the wife of one husband, wife of one man, faithful to her husband, a reputation for being faithful to her husband. Okay? And then another reputation, well reported of good works. And then I think after that it starts naming those good works. Here are some good works that I'm talking about. Raising your children. Showing hospitality to strangers. Some versions read that. Some say showing hospitality. Washing the feet of the saints. Do we do that today? Right. But we do serve each other, don't we? And that's a form of washing. They're not ringing the bell, are they? The class is going to be over early today. Relieving the afflicted. visiting in the homes of the sick and helping them with the dishes and the cleaning and some things like that. There are just some very practical things that these women have to have the reputation for that. In other words, they've been doing this all their lives. When they were married to this man or to this, when they were being faithful to their husband, they were doing it. They have a reputation for these things. And I think what Paul is telling Timothy is people don't change dynamically and become this kind of person after someone dies in their life. Any more, folks, than an elder becomes all of the things an elder must be when after he's selected to be an elder. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time, people who serve as an elder or a deacon are doing those things that elders and deacons do long before the congregation selects them into one of those roles. Jill? Yeah. We need to be aware and we need to know what's going on with them. Brother Matt? Didn't hardly live to be 60. Yeah, 60's the new 40. I just made that up. That's not, even the world's not saying that. Okay, in 11 through 15, and there's four verses that are addressing the younger widows. And so, think out of all this passage, there's a reason why he gives so much time to talking about the younger widows. So let's talk about what he says. First he says, refuse them. Why would he say to refuse the younger widows? That doesn't seem harsh. Seems harsh. It's not good for them, is it? And they're not ready to drop out of the program, are they? They're not ready to just step aside and say, you know what? Married life's not for me. I'm going to be celibate for the rest of my life. And I'm going to devote my life. Some can. And Paul, you know, encourages in other places, in other letters, he says, you know, if you can do that, do that. That'd be a great thing for you to do. But if you can't, don't. But he knows the nature. And so he says, you know, you can't create a situation. And they end up bringing condemnation on themselves. Why? Because they put Christ in a second place, don't they? Because they go on the hunt. What are they hunting for? Not for a deeper relationship with God, but for a man, a husband, someone to take care of me. It's a nature kind of thing. And it doesn't make it right. It just, Paul is just trying to make it a reality. But he says they cast off their first faith. They tend to learn to be idle and to gossip. To wander from house to house and to be busybodies and speaking things that they shouldn't speak. Wow. I've got to be careful with my tongue, don't I? I have to be careful about the things that I say and the way I conduct myself in the church. He's addressing young women who've lost their husbands, and you know, with war and battle and armies and those kinds of things, women are subject to losing their spouse. And he's saying, don't go to these places. Don't cast off your faith. Don't learn to be idle and to sit around and do nothing and to gossip and to wander from house to house and to be busybodies and to speak things they ought not to speak. Younger widows should marry. They should bear children and manage their house. They should give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Well, to speak reproachfully of who or what? Okay. Let's start with them. Don't give, just like Timothy, to not give opportunity for people to say bad things about him or to despise his youth. For the young ladies, these young ladies, he's talking about, Don't give Satan a chance to reproach you or the church.
Mm-hmm. Seeing it inside the assembly, and people go, well, wait a minute, what's the difference?
Ah.
So that gets back to the point of why it's so important.
It is so important.
In other words, absolute purity, absolute example, these things that we're supposed to do, why it's so important to live that way, because you can't possibly help others if you're just, compounding the problem within the body of believers. And so I think there's a dichotomy there of what Paul's always trying to say.
Yeah, what an important umbrella lesson in this, and that is, look at the big picture. All Paul is saying is, let's be the kind of people we need to be so that those who are outside can see Christ in us, can see the bride of Christ in us as we interact with each other, as we take care of each other, as we admonish and build each other up and help each other with the issues that come up in our lives, loss of a loved one, becoming a widow. How do we handle that? How do we help each other in those things? What message does that send to the rest of the world? And he finishes this section in 16 by saying, hey, we're going to finish the lesson today. That's pretty good. We haven't done that in a while. A believing man or woman who has widows should help them. Do not burden the church so that it may relieve those who are truly widows. It's a responsibility that we have. And, we all try to not be a burden to our children and to our grandchildren. But you know what? If that happens, it should happen. And they should be prepared. If that happened to us, we should step up and do what needs to be done. And that's the first line of defense in all of this, is taking care of family. And young or old, we need to help each other when we have loss of loved ones, of especially marriage partners. Yeah, I wish we had about 2 more hours to go that direction to talk about those kinds of things. But I do think that God, in His wisdom, has laid on the church the burden of taking care of the poor and the widows in our area of influence. And we need to be doing that, and we're doing that. One of the things that I praise God for today, we've got this beautiful new auditorium. We're dying to go over there, and I'm fixing to let you go. But, in all of this, none of our ministries have been punished. Because of your wonderful giving, and because God has blessed us so much, we didn't have to tell a missionary, well, we can't support you anymore. Or a children's home, we got to cut back on our support. And that just speaks huge, huge volumes about the heart of this congregation. Let's keep that heart going, and let's grow in our love for each other and continue to help each other be the church that God wants us to be.
Right.
And also, this was a time when the women did not have outside employment. And so if a widow over 60 had no family at all, she had no way to live. And so it was the church's responsibility to take care of that person.
And what you're saying there may be part of the problem that we're talking about over here is that now that we have things like Social Security and those kind of things, maybe we've taken a back seat and said, okay, that's how that's going to be taken care of.
Help them in a different way.
Very good. Good thoughts.
Change their air conditioner
Yeah. That's it. Do you need your air conditioner filter changed? Okay. Having a place to go, or having someone come into your lonely room at the care home that you're at, that you sit there hour after hour by yourself trying to figure out how to entertain yourself till you can go to sleep again. You know, let's be aware of those things, and let's be sensitive and do the things that we can to relieve our widows indeed. Thank you for being here. Next week, we're going to talk about elders who are worthy of respect.